Right, say good morning. Good evening, Only Believe. How are we all doing tonight? We good?
Yes.
Are you ready to worship the Lord tonight?
No. Not yet.
Not yet. The worship team wasn't. If you caught us running up on stage, we're like, it's time. Amen. But I am glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen? Because in His house, there's peace. There's joy. In His house, there is a freedom and an atmosphere, at least in this house, to get before the Lord. Amen? We got a lot of things going on. People's got battles going on that you don't know of, and it's time just to forget about those things for a little bit and just get before the Lord and thank Him. Praise Him. Worship Him. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about somebody in the back. If they see you raising your hand for the first time, listen, just worship Him. You and Him. If you feel like getting on your face in front of the altar. I've done it. Do it. Right? Get on your knees before Him. Do it. It's whatever you need to do with the Lord tonight. Amen? There's a freedom for you. And I think you know that, but we want to make sure that you continue knowing that. The altar is always open for you to come up during worship, during praise and worship. And just, if you need it, use it. There's no weakness in getting and bowing before the Lord. That's strength. That is understanding that I can't do this life by myself. I can't walk through the battles that I walk through by myself, nor was I ever meant to. I was never meant to do anything by myself. I'm to always yoke with the Lord. Amen? Amen. So let's just get in His presence and allow peace to just permeate your body, and also just get before Him. Don't worry, again, don't worry about anybody else in here. It's you and Jesus. Amen? Amen.
Jesus.
Father God. Father, to consume the places that is not about you, Father God. We just ask you to burn out of us those things that are not of you. Lord, when we get before you, we want to worship you in spirit and truth, Father God. We want to be those worshipers that worship you in spirit and in truth. And right now, I come against, Father God, the enemy from bringing depression on people right now. In Jesus' name. If that's you, say, God, I give it to you. And I welcome you in to bring peace into my heart.
Some of us may be in situations that we think is never going to end or never going to come to pass. Father God, we give you permission to come and wipe that thought out of our mind and out of our hearts, because we know that you are God and that you are big enough to do anything, that there's nothing that is impossible with you. We give you permission to come and consume everything within us, because Lord, we don't want any of us, any of the world in us. We want you. We need you, Lord. Where there's hopelessness, bring hope, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that we just welcome you into our lives, our hearts, Father, our minds right now. You don't just care about one part of us. You care about the total thing, Lord. You care about everything that concerns us. And sometimes we're not doing what we need to do and go where we need to go because we don't give you the permission to come in and consume those places up that are not you. Lord God, I know this is a prayer that you better be ready when you pray it and when you say it, because there's going to be things shown to us that we might not like about ourselves. But Lord God, show us so we can get it out. Consume us, burn it out of us, Lord God. Let every person in here quit loving the things of the world more than the things of God. Every single one of us, Lord God. Let nothing be above you in our hearts and in our minds. Let us not serve anybody above you or anything. Consume us, God. Consume us, God. Consume us, God. Hallelujah. Come and consume, God.
The name is free.
Situation, we speak the name that is above every name, the name that can only move mountains, the name that can only bring peace and joy. We speak the name of Jesus over every situation in here, Lord God, that people are going through. We speak your name, Jesus. There's power, there's authority in your name. And we thank you, Father God, that as we speak the name of Jesus, you are doing what you do. You are doing what your word promises. You are bringing peace. You are bringing joy. You are bringing resolutions. You are bringing victory into people's lives. You're bringing strength to stand during the battle. Father, we just thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody give a hand clap of praise. Amen. We love you, Lord. Amen. I have to grab my Bible and stuff because, you know, Phil's still not back. Got to get my little caffeine there real quick. Phil is still in North Carolina, and I talked to him a little bit yesterday. It was the first time I really talked to him. We usually talk every day when he's out, so he must needed the break from me. But he said that none of them caught any except for Pastor. Shot any except for Pastor, and it wasn't that big. So I'm like, so you're killing Bambi again. So they may have caught one today, I don't know. But I know they're having a good time in the fellowship with our family down in North Carolina. Amen. So we just want to give them a shout out if they're watching. We love y'all. Thank you for taking them away from me for a week and giving me some peace. I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. Angel, I do have your pie thing, so you don't have to stress about it no more, okay? We're good. I got it in the office. Amen. What do we got coming up? Okay, I forgot to do announcements on Sunday because you get so into this process that God's putting through your brain and you're feeling his moving. So I can see why people do announcements first. I will do that from now on because this is too much. I want to get announcements out, but then I'm here. We do have to take up offering. Let's just, everybody, we teach well on offering here. Amen? We know what offering and tithes are, do we not? So let's just, out of our love for him, not anybody standing up here telling you again, but what you already know, and just get our offering and our tithes out and just offer it up to him because we love him and because we're being obedient to his word because we love him. Amen? So, Father, I just ask you right now to bless everyone that's in here that has to give, that doesn't have to give, that, Father, that if they don't have to give this time, that you're going to bring something into their hands that they have to give. Father, I thank you that we give by faith. We know what your word says. And we give by faith, knowing that your word is truth. And I thank you that we have more than enough. Never have I seen his seed begging for bread. I thank you, Lord, that we are not begging for bread. We're not hungry. We're not begging for bread because your provision is upon our lives. I thank you that our stuff lasts longer than everybody else's stuff. Why? Because you have a covenant with us. You made this covenant with us that says, I'll rebuke the devourer on your behalf. And I thank you that the devourer is rebuked in every area of our lives. Father, we just give to you because we love you. We give to you to be obedient. And we give into the kingdom because we want to see your kingdom progress and touch more lives. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can bring that forward. Kids already gone, right? Kids left. Anything coming up this weekend, right? But next weekend is the women's breakfast and word, and we got Mona Kearns. She's going to bring that word for us on Saturday, and that's going to be amazing. So that's next Saturday. There is no men's breakfast for the next 2 months, November, December. There's none because they fall during the holiday season. So remember, no Thursday night service in the week of Thanksgiving. Because Thanksgiving, y'all were going to be eating and being with family. And then Christmas Eve is going to be our candlelight service is at 6. I'm trying to remember all this stuff. Women's Christmas party, December 3rd. Thank you. Y'all know me too well. You knew I was going to say the wrong date. November 3rd. I think the paper says at 1. What are we doing? It says at 12 or at 1? Praise God. 12. We'll do it noon. High noon. We're going to have a great time. It's so much fun. And somebody stole our sign-up sheet. It's so much fun. Men, who stole it? Carrie? Did you steal our sign-up sheet to the women's party? Yeah, it had to be. They're just jealous because we're going to have such a good time and it's gone. If you... Sounds like something you do. Your son said that sounds like something you do. Listen, go put it back. We won't ask no questions. We won't bring the police in. Just put it back. Amen? Just slide it right back on there. All will be forgiven. Amen. Well, I want to get into the Word. Amen? I have been... Amen. Amen. This has been kind of a little struggle because studying for two messages in 1 week is not what I do. That's what my handsome husband is for, right? And usually, if there's two, he's going, we'll pass one off to somebody else, but the Lord wouldn't let me. And that's, I said, okay. But it's been a little rough today, but when I got here and I said, okay, Lord, this is not like any other one. Like, I've got notes that I've made, but I'm not like, tell me, what do you want me to say? Like, show me what you want me to say. And so I know that Phil's talking about faith on Thursday nights. And so I don't want to talk about what God's responsibility and faith is. I want to talk about what your responsibility and faith is. That's what I want to talk about, right? Because God's already done his part. His part of faith is completed. We're just to have faith that he has completed it, right? And without faith, the word says, it's impossible to please God. What is the first thing we do when we get in a long battle? We doubt. And we start to... And this is... Listen, this is not just one person. It's not just two... This is life. This is... Life gets on us, and we forget who brought us out of that death in the first place. And so what are we supposed to do? Like, I sat in Pastor's mess in the service last week with Pastor, and he's talking about faith. And I love the way he did it, and I'm going to kind of do it to get you thinking. I stole it from him on Sunday, too, and had you thinking, because I thought it was beautiful, because I'm not going to preach to you and preach and preach and preach. Let's make this an interactive thing. Think about this. What do you think your responsibility is in faith? What is your job in faith? Tell me. To believe without seeing. That's the whole... Woo! I've got no other microphone to on. I'm hot. That's the power of the whole thing. No, I'm just kidding. It sounded off earlier today when they were testing me out. And it just like made this noise. Like you know, when Superman lands and his power just permeates and you can hear it. Yeah, that was power. Notice I didn't jump on the floor because I'm smarter than that. Something you get with age is wisdom. Amen? You know, don't do those stupid stuff you used to do when you were a teen. Don't turn out the same way. And it's the same when you walk with God and when you were a sinner. Don't try to do the same things in your walk with God that you did as a sinner. Something has to change in you and how you respond and how you react to things. No longer is my first reaction on something that goes wrong is negativity and anger and blowing up. I can't say that's always been that way. That is not a faith response. Is it not? It's not a faith response. A faith response when something blows up and something came and something is saying, God, I don't know what is really going on right now. Things are shaking. I feel it. This is going wrong. This is going wrong. But I trust in you. I trust in you that no matter what is happening, that you got me. That you won't let me fall and you won't let me go. And nothing can tear me out of your hand. And I'm not jumping, God. I'm not jumping out. I'm staying tucked into who you are. That's a faith talk. Why? Because it says, even though I don't understand, I trust you. Amen. How do you know you're saved? Give me something. How do you know you're saved? But Pastor used to ask this question, and I'm telling you, I wouldn't answer it for nothing because I knew whatever I was going to say was wrong. But how do you know you're saved? Now, And I'm like, you guys are going to answer me, huh? There's no tangible way. You can't see salvation, right? You feel different, but that's faith. Without faith, you don't even know you're saved. Without faith, you don't even believe that God's real, because he's never stood before you and talked to you. Your Heavenly Father can't stand before you and talk to you. We are not holy enough to stand before the living God. Mm-mm. So we've never touched God. And unlike, doubting Thomas? I know, the one that had to touch his hands. Doubting Thomas. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. But when Thomas saw Jesus after he rose from the grave, he hadn't got up to the Lord, get his glorified body yet, so he could not, nobody could touch him. And so when he finally came back down, Thomas was just, is this you, Lord? And he had to see Jesus' hands, and he had to touch the hole in his hands where the nails were pierced through to believe. You don't get to do that. You know what I feel like when I say that? Is that how is your faith not stronger than Thomas's? Now, I'm not dissing on Thomas, because one day I'm going to see him in heaven. I don't want him to say, why'd you preach like that on me? I didn't, Thomas. But you have to have stronger faith than Thomas, because you've believed without seeing. That's faith. You use your faith for so many things. You do. You use your faith for so many things in life, and it's not even faith in God sometimes that you use your faith for. Sometimes you have faith in other people, and they'll let you down. And a God that has never let you down, you struggle to have faith in. Is it not truth? Why? Why? Because there's an adversary that's going around seeking whom he may devour. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Be vigilant. What's vigilant mean? It means to be watchful, circumspect, attentive, to discover, avoid danger, or to provide safety. Be vigilant in your life. And that means, too, not just waiting and watching for it to come at you, because we know afflictions are coming. We know it. Like, we say this scripture all the time in here, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So we know afflictions are coming. So why do we lose faith when it comes? And why do we say, oh God, I'm so sorry, I must have sinned. What did I do wrong? And we blame ourselves immediately for something coming upon us. Do we not? Isn't that not man's way of thinking? And that's not necessarily truth at all. Now, if you're in knowing sin, if you are walking in sin and knowingly doing it and things come upon you, that is the result of sin. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We can't get around that. There is a price. Sin has a price that you have to pay for. Now, God will forgive you. He will if you repent and you truly turn to him. But repent means turning from that thing and not going back to it. Don't be repenting 50 times in one day over the same thing and going back and going back. That's not true repentance, right? So repent from that thing and go back and go away from it and don't do it no more. God will forgive you. But people forget to understand, depending on what the sin was, there can be things you have to pay on this earth. If you murdered somebody and you're found out, you have to go to jail and you have to go to prison. You say, well, if they repent, they get to go to heaven. Yes, they do. That doesn't mean they get to get out of prison. The wages of sin is death. The enemy wants to do anything and everything he can to draw your attention off of him, off of the Lord. He can't go to heaven. He don't want you to go to heaven. I heard somebody say that one of the people they were talking to said, no, we need to pray for Satan. There's no hope for him. Why are you praying for an adversary that doesn't have a hope of changing? There is no hope of changing for Jesus did not die for the fallen angels and for the enemy. He didn't. He died for us on this earth. The enemy is not your friend. He's not ever going to be your friend. He's never going to want to do good for you, even if there is a moment where it looks like it's good. Oh, I'm so happy. I've never been this happy in my life, but you're sinning. But I'm so happy. You're happy in sin because the devil wants you to feel good sitting in sin. He wants you to be comfortable sitting in sin. But there comes a day of reckoning. If it's not on this earth, it will be in heaven if you haven't repented of that sin. And there is a price to pay. If there's no repentance and there's a living in this and we just think we're fine because, oh, I feel good. Let me feel miserable for the rest of my life and stay out of sin. Now, if I'm seeking the Lord, that will never happen. You can't seek the Lord and be in His presence and be miserable for the rest of your life. You just can't do it. Why? Because He's a good God. And He rewards those who diligently seek Him. These are faith actions that you have to do. Like, what's your responsibility when a situation comes up? We've talked about it. What if it doesn't last? What if it lasts longer than you thought it was going to last? What if more comes upon you than what first originally came? Because it's piling on you. It happens. You know? This situation went. Now, oh my goodness, I cannot take one more thing. And guess what? Don't ever say that. One more thing came on. And instead of saying, God, I'm here. You promised me that you'll rebuke the devourer. You promised me that in your arms I'm safe. That you've got me. You have my rear. You are my rear. You even got my back. I thank you that if it's a health issue, that you've healed me, God. I thank you that you have touched this and it is gone in the name of Jesus. I thank you that we have prayed and I don't accept nor receive the enemy to put this on me. I don't accept or receive this in my body. I thank you that you have healed me. Quit. Pastor Phyllis wrote this book that was beautiful. I've read it. Don't sign for the package. Don't say my this and my that. You know, my broken leg. Well, I don't got one right now, but I could have because I just spoke life and death, right? Or this is one that I just didn't like. I don't like still. And we had a friend. He's passed away now. But for years, we hung out with him and his wife. And he'd say, I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. And Phil finally one day, you know your pastor. He's going to get bold at some point. What are you saying that for? Like, what? Why are you saying I'm an alcoholic? Well, because, the first thing is to admit. He said, okay, great. You admitted it. And you've been, when is the last time you've taken a drink of alcohol? Well, it's been 20 years. Then you're not an alcoholic anymore. Quit saying that it's mine. My this, my alcoholism, my addiction, my anger. Whatever the my, stop, it's not yours. Quit signing for that package. You know, I'm not saying to lie and don't not be, like if I've got pain in the stomach area, which y'all know that I've been healed in the name of Jesus, and I'm waiting for the manifestation to come, and I know that I am healed. But sometimes it has acted up. But I don't say my pain. No, it's not my pain. I'm healed. It gets to go. I was telling somebody that the other day we were riding in the car, and all of a sudden, I just had this huge thing on my chest. It just hurt. My chest just hurt up here. And I'm just riding, and I didn't grab and say, oh, God, why? Why is this hurting? Mm-mm. And I don't always say the right thing sometimes, and I have to correct myself. So I'm not acting like I'm all that in a bag of chips. And Jesus, we all are. Amen? But I said, no, I don't accept you. I don't accept this pain. This ain't my pain. Get off. I don't even receive you. Go in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, 2 minutes later, it was gone. Completely gone off of me. Now, would it have gone anyway? I don't know. I wasn't waiting around to find out. I'm not holding something in my lap to see if eventually it'll just go off by itself. That's not faith. Faith is using the word of God to confess over you what the word says. Because you can't release something yourself. You can't. You can't just say, you know what? Whose name are you going to use? Because the name of Jesus is the only name that is above every name, and every knee has to bow. Every name named has to bow to the name of Jesus. And our faith, that's our responsibility, is understanding. Ooh, somebody about how to use faith when I fell off of here and prayed over me. Amen? Back up. But the only name is Jesus. No other name. No other name. I can't go to Brandon and say, in the name of Regina, be healed. Brandon's going, run as fast as you can if somebody does that to you. Even for me, I'll be the first to tell you, if anybody says anything that's not in the word, run. Don't listen to them. And you should be in the word so that you can study to show yourself approved. And if you hear something that's not quite right, then you don't receive false doctrine or false words into your life. There's been times I've been sitting in meetings and I said, that's not truth. One time we had somebody speaking and they said, you know, I don't think Jesus ever went to the church, but no, it was his custom to be in the church daily. It was his custom. So unless you read the word yourself, you're in your brain are thinking, well, if Jesus didn't have to be, I don't have to be. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to. Me and Jesus can have our own thing. How many times have you heard that? Me and Jesus have our own thing. There's no faith in that. Because you know what they're really telling you? Is that I'm too lazy to serve the Lord, and I've got my own ways that I want to live, and that's the way I'm living right now. And I'm not open for you to tell me what I'm doing wrong. I'm not here to listen to you tell me that I got to give up sleeping with somebody I'm not married to, alcohol, anger, cussing people out, that I've got to give up stealing. I don't know, whatever it is that you got to give up. It might be people. But because you like them and you like the way it goes, you want to stay there. That's not faith. You and Jesus don't have your own thing. Jesus has his thing called salvation, and it's believing who he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek us. He is the one who went to the cross. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, and now he lives inside of us. And there is a way that's acceptable unto him, and there's a way that's not. We don't get to choose. And frankly, some people want to tell me their opinion. And if it doesn't match up with the Word of God, I'm sorry, but frankly, I don't care about your opinion. I don't care about my opinion. The only opinion that matters is the Word of God. I don't care that you like that it says not to use filthy language. I'm sorry you don't like that. I'm not really sorry you don't like that. That's just you. Quit being selfish. Quit being so self-focused that you can't even give up words for Jesus. Truth. Quit being so self-focused that every time that something goes wrong, it's never your fault. Quit being so self-focused that even when you forgive somebody, you have to name everything they've ever done wrong to you. What? Did Jesus do that on the cross? Because I didn't hear it. I didn't hear him do that on the cross. I just heard him say, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. He didn't list out every sin that was ever going to be done. Did he not? Did he? Like, did I read something wrong in there? You know what that is? Having to be right. When do we not have to be right? When do we just have to be in a place where God is just the right person? He's the one that's right. His truth is the only truth we care about. I don't know why this is veered off from faith, but we're going to go on this train for a minute, right? Our ways are not better than his ways. Our thoughts are not better than his thoughts. And when we try to do things our own way, have you ever seen a victory doing it your own way? I have gotten deeper in trouble, deeper issues than I would have ever been if I'd have just listened to the Lord. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And faith is knowing and believing that, so that when you get in situations, you don't turn to the hand of the flesh to get you out of something. You don't turn to the hand of the flesh for understanding of a situation. Let me tell you what, there are some things that I still don't understand that has happened today in my life. There's still some things, there's some acts in the Bible that I still don't understand. I'm just going to be real. Like, Father God, they've called fire down from heaven. Why can't we? We live under grace now. Well, save them first. Calm it down. It's not grace. Okay, you know I'm just playing with that, but you know, there's things that sometimes we don't understand. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean God's not with you. It just means you don't understand it. It's a walk of faith. Faith. Did God put it on you? No. I am so sick of hearing people say, well, you must have done something wrong for this to come upon you. Stop it. Stop telling people that. Stop bringing that into their lives. Allow God to reveal to them if there's some sin in their lives that they need to fix. Because what you're doing is you're ruining their faith before it even gets a chance to start. Remember the blind man, the blind boy? And they asked Jesus, who sinned, him or his parents? And he said, neither, but that I might be glorified. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. They're coming. The afflictions are coming. And it doesn't mean you sinned for it to come on your life. Now, if you're in active sin, yes, I'm not going to not say that enough. I'm tired of people color-coding the Word of God to make everybody feel good. There are sins that are unto death. Stop and think before you move. Stop and think before you act. I got to take these out. It's bothering me. Sorry. Jeez. I'm all tangled. Okay. Okay. I'm good. Why don't we want what God wants for our lives? You want me to tell you what I think? Because it doesn't come fast enough for our fast food world, for our fast food mentality. I want this and I want it now. That's why I'm going through the drive-thru and I want to pay you money and I want to get to the next window and I want it handed to me and I want it fast. The Bible says patience is a virtue. So maybe you're going through something because God needs to work out patience in you. Trust and have faith that he knows what you need better than you know what you need. Some of us, and we've all done, if you haven't done this, you can raise your hand and say, I've never done this. And I will say, hey, Carol has never done this. But almost all of us have been in a battle. And even though the Bible says, don't grow weary in well-doing, and the Bible says to stand, doing all that you've known to do. Just stand. We've all sat down and grown weary. And we've seen the battle be way longer than it needed to be. Create more situations than it ever needed to create. Right? So faith says, Lord, and you have, if you're not reading, you're not praying, you're not spending time with the Lord, you don't know him. You don't know that he's going to carry you through this no matter what it looks like. No matter how long it takes, he's going to carry you through this. But if you're not spending time with him, you can't know that. And if you're in sin and you're trying to cry out for God to help you out of the situation until you're out of sin, he can't even hear that cry in the first place. I don't know why this is all, but let's just go with it. I love you all. Live streamers, I love you. But I got to tell the truth. He only hears his children. And you say, I'm a child, but I'm out there doing this, this, and this, and it's willful sin. No, you're not. Because if you love me, you'll do what I've asked you to do. Right? And the words say, if you love the Lord, you're going to follow after him. You're going to do what he says to do. And so if we're crying out and crying out and crying out because of situations, because this has to go, this has to, and you're in sin, he's like, no, that has to go. That has to stop. And then we can work on this. But until we will turn from willful sin, I don't know why I'm on willful sin so much today, but somebody probably needs to hear it. Somebody needs to hear it. You understand backbiting and talking about people is willful sin. Your gossip is sin. And we all know not to do it. If you've got something to say to somebody else, go to them. Go to them. And talk to them. Why does Jeannie need to know that Candy has an issue with Brandon? I couldn't use a girl, because who would have an issue with those ladies? Nobody. But you, Brandon. No, I'm just kidding. You are Carrie's son. Listen, part of that man in you, your blood. No, I'm just kidding. You know, but why is it Karen's business? Why is it Wes's business? Why is it Crystal's business that you have an ought against him? Y'all are allowing, no, I'm going to guess that you're not, and I'm believing you're not, because I'm told to believe the best, and we're all supposed to believe the best of each other. Amen? That's what the word says. But why? Why are we allowing it? As soon as somebody comes up to you and starts trying to talk to you about another person, you know what? You're not allowed in willful sin either, Bubba. And if you guys don't know, I'm talking to a one-year-old right now who don't even know what this is. He just likes to help preach all the time. And we love him. It's time to get serious about your faith. It's time to get serious about the times we're living in. We've said it over and over again. Not just us. Many people have told you, the days are growing very short. There's going to be a time when that trumpet sounds. And how horrible would it be because of self-pleasure? We miss the trumpet sound, and we miss going up. And we're stuck here on this earth with the presence of Jesus being removed from the earth. You know that's what's going to happen. When we go up and meet him in the air, Jesus' presence is not on the earth anymore because we're gone. Imagine what this world is like without Jesus. So it's time to take our faith very seriously, to understand the Lord in a bigger way, and that's by getting before him, reading his word, worshiping him. Just, well, I'm having a bad day. You know what? Turn on some worship music and worship him. Get before it. You don't have to do this just, as a matter of fact, this should just be an overflow when you come in here to worship him of what you've been doing at home. This should just be the overflow. Get before him and worship him. Don't allow the enemy to talk to you and tell you that you're no good, or you're not this, or you're not that, or that you have to have this situation going in your life because you are just a bad person and you talked bad to Candy and you didn't mean to, but you were having a moment. Just go and say, Candy, I don't know what was going on with me that day. I am so sorry. Why can't we just do that? And why can't we receive that? Because you have a bad day. Everybody has a bad day. Now, we're not supposed to allow our flesh to take over. But if you do, God, I'm so sorry. That was so wrong. I don't even know where that came from, but Lord, forgive me. And then go to the person you affected and apologize. I'm sick of people saying I'm church hurt. I'm sick of people saying that I'm hurt by the very people that were sent here to love. And we need to stop. We need to stop being a voice that is part of that church hurt. Now, if we've been given direction from the Lord and we're supposed to do it regardless of whether somebody likes it or not, as soon as God speaks to us and we know it's Him, it's moving forward. That ain't to hurt anybody. That's to follow the plan of God for this church. He's going to speak to Phil and I. He's going to speak to our leadership. And we're going to counsel with them before we do anything. You know? Quit hurting people. Love them. If we get people that's coming in here and sitting down and we know they're in willful sin and you shun them and you don't love on them, something's wrong with your heart. Something's wrong. It's not going to say with the God you serve, because there is something wrong with the God you serve, because you don't serve the living God if that's what you can do. When you can treat somebody bad because of what you've heard about their past or what you've known of them in the past, there's something wrong with you. Because Jesus don't hold me to my past. He don't hold you to your past unless you can't forgive somebody else's. Let's understand that if you don't forgive somebody else's past, then Jesus cannot forgive yours. That's what the Word of God says. If you want forgiveness, you have to give forgiveness. You have to give it. Well, I don't have any friends. Well, that might be your fault. The Bible says to show yourself friendly. That might be your fault you ain't got no friends. Who are you saying hi to? Well, I come into church, but nobody says hi to me. Who have you said hi to? Who'd you say hi to? No, I expect us to say hi. And our church, I'm telling you, you people are amazing when it comes to you. I've never had anybody come to me and say nobody has said hi to me in this church. Because we love people. And we're always, somebody is always getting up. Probably the other thing I've heard is that everybody just kept saying hi to me. If they're an introvert, you know how that is. But we've got to, it's like that word, the song, consume me, God. Consume me. But there's no consuming as if there's no time spent. You can't be consumed by somebody that you're never around. You cannot be. I can say consume me all I want. And the words fall dead if I don't give Him time to consume me. Does it say, I like this, does the word say be steadfast in the faith? Does it say to be sober, be vigilant while things are going bad, but when it's good, let your guard down? It says all the time, be on guard, be vigilant, watch. Or when it's going bad, just walk away. You don't have to be vigilant when it's bad. No, yeah, you do. Even more so. And we're all parents and grandparents in here, mostly. And even the ones that don't have been a parent to people. Listen, what your weakness is will be your child's stumbling block. What you struggle with the most, the next generation has to deal with it. Because you've showed them this life. You've showed them an angry life. Or you've showed them that you don't have to be kind to people. Or you show them whatever your weakness is. Looking down on yourself. Low self-esteem and never really grasping who God has said you are. Your kids will suffer with that. Our ceiling should be their floor. Right? That's what Philip didn't start from down here like Phil and I did. He didn't. Because we decided we're not living that way anymore. These are things that are not acceptable in our home. These are things we will never do again. So Philip has never had a drink of alcohol. Philip is 30 years old, never been married. And Philip is pure. He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. Maybe he won't watch it. And don't you tell him. I'm telling you, I'm keeping an eye on all of you. Stop it. Logan, you'll be the first one to go. Yes, you probably already know that, right? Because of who Philip is. He hasn't had to deal with our level of low. His level of low is our ceiling, right? Because we've taught him the word. Now, it's not that he hasn't dealt with lows. There's not that he hasn't had to deal with things in his life, because we are all fighting the fight of faith. Are we not? We are all. But he gets started at a different level because we were faithful to God. Be faithful. Your kids need to start at your ceiling. Not halfway up. They need to start at your ceiling. The former shall be greater than the latter. So understand that you using your faith pushes your kids right up so that they can start from a different place than what you started with. I didn't grow up saved. I didn't do things I should have done when I was younger because I didn't know. Well, of course you knew certain things, because certain things back in my day were still wrong even if you weren't saved. But I didn't listen. Why? There's nothing in here holding me to it. Right? There's no relationship with the Lord. There's nothing in there holding me not to go and do the sins that I did. I didn't serve him. So, let's just be vigilant. Amen? Let's pay attention. Let's really start to pay attention to how we're responding to people, how we're behaving. When a trial comes, what's coming out of our mouth? I said it on Sunday, and everybody knows this truth. If God's words breathe life and create, right, like he spoke and he created the world, and we're his children, why do you not think that your life create, your voice, the words you speak, create? Thank the Lord that he was pure and he can only speak good things. But what are you speaking? What are you creating in your world that doesn't ever need to even be there, but it's there because you spoke it? Let's watch our words, watch our walk. When it comes to other people, let's watch our love levels. Let's just be ready. Be the virgins with the lamps that are fully ready, not the ones that didn't get their oil. And they hear the bridegroom coming and they have to go get the oil. And by the time they come back, he's gone. The others are gone. We want to go, right? And we want to go when the trumpet sounds. So let's stay vigilant with our faith and keep our eyes on God and quit allowing the world to draw us off, and quit allowing your flesh and the comfortability of your flesh to draw you off. Because more times it's not the enemy, it's our flesh. Put your flesh under. Paul said, put it under. Amen? Amen. Well, Lord God, we just come before you tonight and we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for teaching us and for showing us, Lord God. We thank you that you love us so much that, Father, you will show us those things even if they hurt, because you want them out so that we can move on with you. Father, I just pray that as each one of us spend time with you, that, Father, our desires are just to think like you, to love like you, to talk like you, to respond to people the way you respond to people, that our pride, our egos are down in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, we're not thinking about anything but what does Jesus want me to do? How am I to react or respond in this situation according to the word? Let us not what we want, but let us want what you want. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And I know we have Sue we're going to pray for. And Father, Sue's knee and ankle's trying to come back again. She was healed of that. And so we're just going to confess that healing over her. Amen. And we're going to thank God that that's not allowed to come back up on her body, that it has to go because it's not hers. Amen. Father, we just speak over Sue's knee and her ankle, and we thank you that it goes because you have already healed her, and she's not signing for this package, Father God, that she is healed and whole, and she's not receiving back what the enemy's trying to put on her, Father. We thank you that it has been already healed and that she walks in that healing even now in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we give you glory and we give you praise because it only because of who you are and the name of Jesus, your Son, and the power of authority that he gives us, that by the stripes Sue's been healed and she is walking in her healing, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Father, we just lift up Selena Nixon to you right now. Father, you know what the need is in her life. You know what's in her heart. Lord God, I thank you that you go and speak to her and you are with her and you comfort her and you meet that need. Pain in her body, go. In Jesus' name. I feel like there's some back issues and I just call it to go right now off of her. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that you've touched Selena. She knows who you are. And Father, I thank you to give her peace and strength and joy right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm hoping Phil's back by Sunday. This is 32. I don't know if I can do a third one. It's harder than you think. Like, praise you, Jesus. That Holy Spirit, you're with us and you guide us and you lead us. But if he's not, I guarantee you there will be a good word. And I don't know that it'll be me, but I guarantee you that it'll be a good word. Amen. Y'all have a great rest of your week. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Y'all have a great rest of your week, and we will see you on Sunday.